Welcome to Just Go With It, a podcast by 20-somethings for 20-somethings.
Fun, flirty, and keeping it real. An absolute riot, these two.
If it isn't over the top, it ain't us.
They came out of college on top. Then life hit them in the face.
Be a bit more professional, please.
Couldn't shut us up then.
Won't shut us up now.
Here are the tips and tricks you are going to need to get through your 20s.
We are getting into it.
Strap yourselves in for a wild ride.
Live on air.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Ashley.
Good Lord, it's already season two.
Grab a drink, take a seat, and get ready to just go with it.
What is going on, you guys? Happy Friday, happy hour. We're back with another episode of Just Go With It with your girls, Abs and Ash. Ashley, how the hell are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing better now that I'm talking to you. Something that we neglected to talk about, we've been having a lot of guests and we have some upcoming, which is always exciting, but I'm not sure if it'll translate really well, but it's a 30-second story. Should we tell the story about that when we drove to Allie's house and we got out of the car?
We can. I think they'll like it.
As everyone knows, Abby's frequented in California for like a week. We had a blast. We laughed so much. And so we're driving to our best friend Allie's house. We're joking. We're laughing. We're having a grand old time. We're planning on going to the beach the second we get there. So we're in our bathing suits. We're not wearing – I don't know if I have a shirt
on. I'm wearing camo pants. I'm wearing camouflage pants.
You're wearing camo pants.
And cowboy hats.
And we're wearing cowboy hats and cowboy boots and our bathing suits. And when we park the car
at the house. To some people, that's like Halloween. And to us, that's like Tuesday.
When we park the car at the house, I think I was like, okay, let's get ready for the beach. I think I was just wearing a bathing suit top. And then we opened beers right before we started walking up.
Yeah. And we had a couple cases of Miller Lights clanking.
Yeah, we're carrying – Abby's, like, is really strong like a boy and, like, has a big wingspan. So she's carrying, like, a bunch of stuff under her arms, including the case of beer. And we're drinking some open bottles and we're wearing our bathing suits and our hats and we're joking and we're laughing. And we walk up to the door and we're knocking. And I'm, like, looking at my phone and Abby's, like, wait – are you sure? Like, where are we? I've never been here before. And we're at the wrong house. I look up and we're at the wrong house. And I screamed at you, get away. This is a residential neighborhood. And then I call the police.
And at that point, we started laughing so hard that we could have peed. At least I could have peed my pants. Because it was kind of like a scene from Wedding Crashers vibes. Like, we just show up at this wrong person's house. And the way that we were dressed would have been so absurd if they were to answer the door. We were literally
1 p.m. on a Friday.
One street down from the right house, same positioning on the cul-de-sac, but wrong home. So you know what? Sorry to that man or woman, whoever lives there, but that would have been hilarious. Thank God they didn't answer the door.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving is around the corner.
And it's time to give thanks. It's giving thanks.
It's giving thanks. Today, Abby's mom learned how to say something was giving. What did she say?
I sent my mom this photo. So for those of you who are tuning in, I feel like Carrie Bradshaw, Nashville version, because I have a gala this week on a Thursday. A nonprofit that I support that my friend works for is throwing a gala, and very exciting. Like, when the fuck else am I going to be going to a gala at this age, especially? So I went to this place and I'm renting these really cool, like, this beaded bodice thing that, like, goes over a dress. And so I sent my mom a photo in it because I'm like, this is so up her alley. Like, this is so cool and vintage looking. And she responded to me. I had to double check. I was like, ear with my glasses. Like, what am I looking at? And I open up the message and it's my mom says, it's giving Cleopatra vibes. And I'm like, who am I speaking to right now? Like, one of my friends who's 25 or like my 65-year-old mother? Like, what
well,
is this?
I see that she posts her on TikTok now. I didn't realize she was posting on TikTok. So she must
started.
She must be gaining her language and vernacular from there.
She too lives on the internet, just like her daughter.
She too lives on the internet.
Apple doesn't fall far.
She also logs a 9-to-5, but I was shocked to find out that she's posting on TikTok. How did she even figure it out?
I don't know, if I'm being honest.
Because imagine using like a social interface for the first time. It's hard. So props to the woman.
There's a learning curve.
If you are listening to this episode right now, and if you are, go and subscribe. Go and leave a rating. It takes 20 seconds. It takes 20 seconds to make someone's day. And we'll talk
later.
You can
make ours.
Yeah, I'm talking about our day. Well, we'll talk about this later in the episode about, you know, getting out of your own head and stuff. We'll get out of your own head if you're listening and leave us a review because that's all. It takes 20 seconds. And if you're on Spotify, it literally takes 3 because you can't even write a review. You just can leave 5 stars. So do that if you're listening on Spotify.
Yeah.
And if you're listening on Apple, which I like less, I like Spotify more. But if you're listening on Apple, leave a review at the bottom.
And if you're not going to leave us 5 stars, like, honestly, just, like, don't waste your breath. Like, it's okay.
You know, I'll take 4, though. 4 is fine, too. 4 is fine. But 4 or 5, if you're going to leave us 2, you're don't. But 4 or 5, literally make our day, or else, I don't know what. Something's going to happen.
Make my day.
I'm going to do something drastic. I'm going to do something drastic if you don't. Just leave a review.
Do with that information what you will.
Yeah. So, Abby, if anyone doesn't know, ever since we were, like, in the midst of college, she is on a social tour of Thanksgivings across America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should make a series about this, except it's only once a year.
I know, but every Thanksgiving for the past, like, 5 years or something, haven't you gone to a different Thanksgiving in a different state, potentially?
So here's the deal, everyone. If you went to college out of state, you might feel my pain. Because sometimes it's, like, really expensive to go home, and Thanksgiving break is usually very quick. It's just, like, a long weekend, a few days, then you're right back at it. And so a lot of times, like, I didn't want to pay or, like, go through all the hassle of flying home just for Thanksgiving when I was going to see my parents, like, a month and a half later at Christmas. So I was like, that's kind of silly. And so I would just go to different families' Thanksgivings, whoever would take me, whoever would adopt me. And I really enjoy it because I get to see how other families do it all across America. Last year, I went to a great Ohio family Thanksgiving. I forget.
It's like an anthropological study.
Yes. It was very interesting. The family dynamics, who comes to Thanksgiving, who brings what, what's family drama? Are we drinking? Are we not drinking? Like, what are the games afterwards? Are we watching football? Like, all the dynamics that go into, like, a Thanksgiving day/dinner. So it's been really exciting. I've done California, I've done Idaho, I've done Washington, I've done Ohio, and this year.
And you did your solo Nashville one too.
Solo Nashville. It was supposed to be Kentucky, but, like, shout out to him for not getting his clinicals off the next day. Cry myself to sleep.
That was a solo Nashville one.
Solo Nashville. And then this year, very exciting, I will be spending it with my really good friend Busy in Michigan. And I've never even been to Michigan, so what a thrill. What a thrill.
Do you know? Is it suburban Michigan? Do you know the vibes?
It's Ann Arbor is where we're flying.
Isn't that a nice place?
Yeah. It's like, you know, richy bitchy. Love it. Richy bitchy Michigan. Here I come. I'm a little nervous because it's a very liberal area. So that's, you know, out of my culture.
But that's the most you revealed about yourself on the podcast.
I mean, like, I love all people, but, like, it's going to be a culture shock, I think.
Ask your friend, ask Busy if this is true. A girl that I was abroad with, she was from small town Michigan, but also rich Michigan. It was, like, a vacation town. And she told me she was like, you don't understand. It takes such a long time for trends to cycle to Michigan.
Interesting.
in the store. She's like, we see stuff and it's in the stores in California and it takes such a long time for the trends to reach Michigan. We're living in the digital age now. That was, like, 5 years ago, but
the coastal
still.
Cities, running the world. It's really interesting, though, because I've met so many people in Nashville from Michigan.
Oh, yeah, there's a pipeline.
There's a huge pipeline, and I'm honestly like, okay, all my Michigan people, like, while I'm up there, let's hang out. Let's exchange numbers.
Excuse me if this is going to be wrong. You'll find out, or you can just ask her. But Michigan, something about Michigan gives the vibe of that you might find yourself fraternizing with other people the night before Thanksgiving.
1,000%. I said, what are we doing on Blackout Wednesday? I said, Busy, what are we doing on Blackout
Especially
Wednesday?
Especially Michigan. It sounds so Blackout Wednesday.
And
painfully.
She said, there's a lot of times, like, for those of you who don't know the term Blackout Wednesday, it's when you go back to your hometown after you're all grown up and moved away to the big city, and you come back and you see all the high school burnouts and the people who still go to their high school games.
It's especially true if you're in a state where you can get, like, $4 beers. Something about that is different, yeah.
And all the young people, all the youths go out, and it's, like, an unofficial high school reunion of sorts. And everyone's grown, and you're just fraternizing with everyone, and it's just, like, an outer body experience. I've never had that experience, and thank God for that in my own hometown. No,
last year we said no more, and we just, like, went out to a fun bar where we, like, it was a Friday night, and we talked to strangers that we had a lot of fun with.
Yeah, I think that's always nice. That whole week of Thanksgiving, like, there's just some magic in the air, you know? Magic and money flowing, because, like, Black Friday and Cyber Monday are right around the corner. So everyone's bankrupt and happy.
Didn't you get in a verbal altercation outside the bar in San Diego with someone?
I did indeed.
Did you yell at him? With a strange man. What did you yell at him?
This is such a good story that in the recesses of my brain. So these men.
Just the cobwebs off.
I can get it down to 1 minute if you have a minute to spare. So these men in this bar in San Diego when I was there for Thanksgiving were really appallingly drunk, and they were just going up to all these women around the bar, just these two men traveling solo, drifting between groups of people, rubbing up against girls, touching girls inappropriately, and passing it off as like, oh, sorry, I bumped into you. But it was like so obvious what they were doing, and it was pissing me off, and they were doing it all night. And then when we went outside to catch the Uber, they were coming up to one of my friend's friends. And if you're a friend of my friend, you're a friend of mine. And so I feel very loyal and protective over these people. And they kept like bothering her while she was just trying to call an Uber. And I went up to these men and I said, literally no one wants to hang out with you. Please take yourselves elsewhere. Like, I'm not interested. No one's interested. Nobody wants you to bump up against them and touch them inappropriately. Like, take your shit and go. And then these drunk men, you know, their egos were hurt by what I had to say. And so then they got really angry and they started yelling. And then the security guard had to come. And I was in the back chanting, fight, 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 because I thought it would be funny if they got in a fight. I never felt unsafe because, like, the security guards really swooped in there, heroes of the night. And then the next day I matched with one on Hinge.
Last summer, I did tell someone, but last summer, me and my friends, that we were talking to a bunch of men that seemed very safe and stable in the bar, and I did tell a third-party man, hey, it's not okay for you to be touching women like that, and I said something because I felt safe because I had men with me.
I think it's important to speak up. 100%. If you see something, say something. It's true what they say.
We had Talia Lichtenstein on last week on the podcast, and I just listened to her podcast this week, and she was telling a story how recently some guy was being rude to her, so she gave him a hug, and she poured her drink down his back. She opened up the back, the back of his shirt, and poured the entire thing down because he was being horrible.
No.
And that's really liberating too. But you have to really know your audience. Like, it can't be someone that's going to kill you.
No, totally. Like maybe not in the middle of Tennessee. Maybe don't do that.
Yeah. With a big scary man.
That's iconic.
I've always wanted to throw my drink in someone's face.
Same. I've always wanted to pour, like, what was it about Nickelodeon and Disney shows? Like, if some man wrongs you, you like pour a smoothie or a milkshake
or
on their
slime.
No. In normal settings, not being slime.
On iCarly.
Yeah, it's not the like Nick Kids Choice Awards. It's not getting slime. I'm talking about when you're at a bar.
You've just been punked.
Yeah, usually when you're at a bar and a man wrongs you, like in all the TV and like movies and stuff, a girl would always pour a smoothie on
their
head.
They were always hanging out at the smoothie shop in iCarly.
Totally. And in Hannah Montana on the beach. And I always wanted to pour something on a man's head. I still have not had the opportunity.
No, but we should just run with the opportunity of throwing someone in someone's face. And if you're a first time or second time listener, Abby's 5'11". So I always say that I feel extraordinarily safe going places with her because I feel like if anything were to happen, you can get involved, not me.
1000%. Like, no one's going to mess with me.
No, not at all. No.
In light of Thanksgiving, we wanted to talk about some ways to practice gratitude. I think in this season, especially, people need this. It's an important topic because for many, and myself included, it is seasonal depression era. And for those who just went through daylight savings, and by for those, I mean everyone except for those who live in Arizona, I am so sorry that the sun is setting at literally 4 p.m.
Imagine if you lived in like the Northeast or something, you would literally have to lock yourself up. You wouldn't be able to handle
the season of the sticks. Like, I wouldn't see it. One, because I would only be able to go through one.
Or I guess that happens also. I'm an idiot. When you lived in Washington, the sun set obscenely early, right?
Why do you think I left? Why do you think I fled the country to Southern California for school?
When Abby lived in Washington, there was one time she called me up and she was hysterical, crying so hard I couldn't understand her. It was like in Bring It On, All or Nothing with Hayden Panettiere when she gets to the school. And I was like, Abby, okay, I can't understand you. Okay, I understand. Where are you right now? She was like, I'm walking down the railroad tracks by my house. And I was like, okay, this is stop. Enough. I was like, enough. Go home. And calm down. Take some deep breaths. Are you going to harm yourself? Because why are you on the railroad track? This is something I'm unfamiliar with.
It's so interesting to look back on that season of life. That year,
I think it was your first week home.
It was a year between college. Think back to that year between college and starting real life when I moved back home. Although I was so grateful to spend that time with my family, that was truly probably the darkest year of my life. Like, I have never had so many breakdowns and cried so much. And it was just a mixture of so many things, but it was so dark.
And also literally physically dark. When Allie and I went to visit Abby for like a week, her mom was like, thank you so much for coming. Like, she really needed
it. No, it's like, she was so right.
Some sort of facility, and we went to go visit you.
Although, but I feel like I grew a lot, though, in that.
No, you're 100%.
Like, I'm a better person for it.
And it also forced you into the gym, which has changed your life. Mm-hmm. But going into the seasonal depression this time, I know that you said you were better equipped and you told the people around you, hey, last year was like my first year confronting this darkness, mm-hmm. even though I moved. But so this year, like, let's really – someone help me out.
Yeah, I know. And I also think the last two – fall winter seasons I've had have been particularly hard because 2 years ago was when I had just moved to Nashville. So I was spending all of the like early holiday season in a city where I knew zero people.
And then I was about to say also last year, you were like, I know I'm going to have to break up with my boyfriend, yeah. but I can't handle the seasonal depression.
Yeah. And last year I was going through a breakup of a serious relationship that I was having. So I just have like a bad taste in my mouth more than normal about this season. And I'm really trying very, very hard to pull myself out of it before I even get too far in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's
preventative care.
Let's focus on the positives. Let's reach out for help when we need it. And that's what this episode's about, is practicing gratitude in this season. There's lots to be grateful for. Ashley, take it away.
Yes. I actually listened to a few podcasts a few days ago pertaining to this subject. So I have some stuff that I could speak on about it. And it is about gratitude versus thankfulness.
We're going to learn today.
I know that you love when
I love listening and learning.
I spoon feed you lessons.
I love Socratic seminar.
Speaking of Socratic seminars and spoon feeding, actually, we'll talk about the book reading in the second half. But gratitude versus thankfulness. And what I learned on this podcast, which I can link the three that I listened to below. I don't remember the names at the moment, which is why I'm not going to say them, but they'll be linked below at a later time, is that gratitude runs really deep and is long lasting versus thankfulness just being a fleeting idea, and why gratitude is so important.
That's really interesting. I can't wait to dive in.
And so thankfulness is more transactional. Some examples of that are, I'm thankful for my health because I'm able to participate in activities. I'm thankful for my friends because I have someone to hang out with. So it's more transactional. You just, understand what I'm saying?
More like, I'm thankful for my cup of coffee today, like small things.
A little bit. And how people are like, let's write down a list of things we're thankful for. The obvious that you put down is, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my clothes and my apartment. Which is like, that's all very obvious stuff that you just know you're supposed to say, even if you are thankful for it, because I am, it's still the obvious.
So it's more obvious and more objective. And then gratefulness, gratitude, if you will, is more how you view the world and how you approach.
So gratitude is more, runs a lot deeper. Gratitude is creating a positive experience for yourself by appreciating what's around you and internalizing it. It's specific, it's deeply personal, and there's a why behind it.
Deeply personal, internalized. So instead of internalizing the seasonal depression, we can internalize gratitude instead. Let's replace
so, yes, for gratitude, maybe there is a specific trigger, much like with thankfulness, like, oh, I'm thankful for my friends.
Yes.
But it's not a passing thought. It is a lingering feeling. Thankfulness is, like I already said, transactional, and gratitude is a little more overwhelming and runs a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm thankful for my healthy body because I get to work out and then I get to look good. Mm-hmm. That is thankfulness. Gratitude is a great example that I thought of when I first listened to this is at my birthday last week, which feels like it was quite literally 6 months ago. I think it was 10 days. at my birthday last week, when we went out and stuff and a few of my friends surprised me that don't even live around here, I felt so much gratitude because I felt so loved. I felt so much gratitude for going out to dinner with all my friends, so much gratitude for the people that surprised me, and that I have a lot of people that I know love me very deeply.
So gratitude, would you say that like thankfulness is a good practice when you're trying to build up your gratitude?
Yes. I think that thankfulness is noticing a bunch of little things that can compound to having a bunch of gratitude for your life. And I think gratitude creates more of a positive state of mind. and a more positive outlook on the world. I know that you are super into experiences one-on-one with people that you come in across, such as your doorman, Bobby. And having that positive experience every day creates gratitude for your life.
Yes. I think two practices that come to mind, kind of bouncing off of that, that I like to do, especially when I feel myself getting into a rut and I know it's coming because I know myself at this point, I will physically have to put pen to paper every morning. This was when things were really dark. But like we've all been there, slay, girl, slay. I will literally keep my like tiny little journal next to my bed and I would wake up, roll over. First thing I would do, I wouldn't check my phone, I wouldn't scroll, I wouldn't do whatever. I would take out the journal and then I would write down five things that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. And they would have to be different from the day before. So it can't just be repeats. Mm-hmm. That's not going to help anyone. And obviously you can start out with the easy ones like my parents, you know, a roof over my head, food, yeah. ability to buy groceries, clean water, you know, the sunshine today, whatever you want to put on there. And then the next day do five new things and five new things the next day and just do that until you start to feel good. And then also because of that practice, you'll start to notice throughout your day things that can make you thankful. And then you'll be like, oh, I can use that for my list tomorrow. So you like notice things more.
Yeah. Two thoughts. One, Ed Milet, a long time ago, I need to listen to him again, actually.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Eddie boy.
We used to be obsessed with Ed Milet.
I know. I loved Ed Milet. And what happened? Nothing happened. Nothing changed. Happened. The morning toast overtook my daily listening. And now that I'm weaning myself off, no offense, I'm listening to so many other things. I'm going to put Ed Milet into my repertoire.
His voice is so good for podcasting and so good for radio. Like,
Eddie, he had said on one of his episodes quite a while ago that before he opens his eyes in the morning, but when he's consciously awake, that he'll just think of as many things and picture in his mind that that he's grateful for as possible. Everything in his life that he's grateful for, he'll think about it before he even opens his eyes in the morning. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I was going to say was that, oh, you said that you like to write pen to paper. Mm-hmm. I enjoy writing pen to paper all the time, but for some reason, that's not what comes to mind for gratitude for me. I feel like I need to put myself interject myself into situations or places that I know I'm already thankful for, and that helps to foster a positive mindset and a place of gratitude. For example, I'm thankful for, like I said earlier, so many friends that I have in my life. I think I just need to, when I am feeling down, it's just interject myself into, you know, spending more time with my friends, talking to them, et cetera, and then I find that I have a lot of gratitude throughout my day.
I also think another practice could be, if you're not into pen and paper, you can, if you are a morning showerer, I know this sounds psychotic, but I really think it could help. I have a lot of like really good think time in the shower, you know, shower thoughts.
Oh yeah, it's the one place where I'm not listening to a media.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you're in there, you could just start showering and start thinking of or saying out loud things that you're grateful for. I think there's a power. I don't know if I like fully believe in manifestation, but to some degree I kind of do. I think there's a lot of power in saying things out loud, saying things that are in your head internalized out loud. Like, I am so thankful for this. Just the act of like saying it out loud to yourself is strong, and it's not something that people do because you obviously don't want to do that in public. You'll look like a psycho, but you can do it in the shower.
Or in your car. You don't always have to have something blaring in your ear when you're in the car.
And also something nice, if you're a spiritual person, like I am, I feel like when I am feeling a little stressed or rushed or flustered or whatever, which happens a lot, I put on worship music in the car. I have this one playlist.
Really? That I love learning new stuff about you
I don't do it all the time, but like today I did it, for example, this morning, and it just puts me in such a good mood. And if you're not a spiritual person, I guess you could equate this to maybe just some other types of music that just makes you really happy. But for me, it's more like more than just music that makes me happy, because it kind of puts me in this mindset of like the bigger picture of life a little bit. And like, yes, the everyday tasks and like work can be stressful. Things can be stressful, like your jam-packed day. But like when I listen to worship music in the car, it like re-centers me a lot. And then it also helps me interact with people in the world, like be a little bit more patient with people, be a little bit more gracious, because you want, for lack of a better term, you want like Jesus's light and his love to shine through you to others. And so I think about that more in the back of my head when I listen to worship music. So it's like a good practice. That's
so nice, Abby. Is it a playlist on your Spotify?
It is. It's called Oceans because I made it when I was like
19. That one Hillsong song.
It was like 19, and let me tell you, Oceans was all the rage in college. Everyone was listening to it left and right, and so that's why I named it that. But like since then I've added a few songs, but pretty much it's like the same 1 hour loop of like the ones that I know I'm gonna like and they're gonna hit,
that we grew up with. That's really beautiful. Oh, something else that I remember Ed Mylett, not to keep stealing from him, but man, I miss that guy, is
it's hasn't gone anywhere. You can still access him.
Just like God, huh? Uh-huh. Something else that he always would say on a lot of his episodes was that whenever he's getting too far into his own head, too down about his own self or his own life, that he would just reach out to other people or help other people, even in a small, minute way, and that instantly would get him out of his own head.
Yeah, it's really easy to get really insular and really focused on just your own life. But like when I'm working from home, if I'm feeling like a little overwhelmed, the second I get out of my apartment and I go downstairs and I talk to the front desk people or I go on a walk and I have like a nice interaction with the stranger, it's like, oh yeah, life's fine. Like everything's actually okay and everything's going to be fine. Like you just have to get out of your own way.
A nice interaction with a Trader Joe's employee really hits different. That's always
really, really turns a day around.
Oh, something that I also find that can help put me in a more positive mindset is that sometimes I feel like I said, this goes back to what you're consuming media wise. Mm-hmm. It's that if I am consuming just kind of a little bit vapid, shallow podcasts day in and day out, and then I like listen to something else, it's like a breath of fresh air.
It's a breath of fresh air when you listen to the vapid one.
Something new. No, something new. Something new. Break out of my repertoire.
Yeah.
Enough with like the same thing, the same people ranting and raving day in and day out again and again and again, not to like name names. But I find that it can get a little bit too shallow, a little bit what I'm consuming.
Yeah, I totally understand that too, because it can feel like, first of all, like you're disconnected to the world because you're like, what the hell is actually like going on in the world?
Yeah.
And also there's so many resources at our fingertips that you don't even think.
Crazy that we're living in this age.
It's insane. Especially if you are a podcast listener, like by trade. I hope you are if you're listening to our show.
By trade? Are you a blacksmith or a podcast listener?
Don't forget to like and subscribe. But if you already are into podcasts and you are feeling in a rut, there are literally so many podcasts that are so cool about any topic ever. And if you want to learn something, one of the podcasts I think I told you recently off record that I want to start listening to is Stuff You Should Know. It's like one of the biggest podcasts in the world, and they have topics you can just scroll through, like their list of shows. There are topics for literally anything. Like you could learn so many cool things, and it's fun to learn new things. Like we're not supposed to stop learning just because we're out of college.
100% I listened to a podcast, like a Christian podcast, but it was with a professor. Who am I? I was like Religion 102. I miss it. And the other day it was very fast. It was very fascinating.
No, it's cool. It like expands your worldview. It reminds you that there's important things to say out there besides slay girl slay. Also, I know at the beginning of this, we were talking about things that we're grateful for. And like the number one thing that most people think of or should think of at least is our health and wellness. And someone who helps us have really strong sense of health and wellness is First Form. Thank you, First Form, for being a partner with us for so many months, almost a year now on this show. It's really opened our eyes. First Form's a really, really cool company. First of all, best customer service you could ever have. And anytime 100%. You order something from First Form, there is a handwritten note.
I got a birthday card.
Yeah, she got a birthday card. Like they actually care so much about the people, their customers. It's very, very cool to see in today's day and age, you know, corporate America, you know, consumerism at its finest. But they have really, really cool workout apparel. They have protein bars, meat sticks, supplements of all kinds. I personally use their collagen every single day in my coffee. And for those who are like really into fitness and want to get more into like lifting weights and that kind of working out, there's lots of supplements for you there. And then also just ways to get your protein in. I have been obsessed with the cookie dough protein bar lately. That's been my favorite of choice. I have literally tried every single one that they have. They're all good. There's never been a bad one. So props to them.
I actually, since I'm a grown up now, I can swallow pills, and I started taking their multivitamin because that's big. I know, right? I used to literally be choking on them. And my mom would be screaming as recent as like 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I like had strep and my mom was beating me over not being able to swallow the pill. It was a whole thing. But I can swallow pills now and they're not too big. So I have been taking the multivitamin.
Do you feel better, stronger, happier?
Faster, stronger.
Like superwoman or what?
I'll keep you posted.
Okay, great. Yeah. There's something for everyone of all fitness levels and interests. And for our tennis girlies, they have a cute tennis dress that me and Ashley both have in white that we wear all the time.
I have like four in white because yeah, they're always getting an animal. Dirty. So I have literally four.
You know, there's such thing as a washing machine, Ashley.
I know, but my pure whites, I'm not like you. And I only wash pure whites. You mix your clothes, don't you, in the washing machine a little bit?
Of course I mix my clothes. I'm a mixing.
Of course. Why are you looking at me like that? I know that you're a clothes mixer. I mix my clothes too, aside from the pure whites. And so those get washed together. So I don't wash my one dress as often.
Okay, that's fine. Totally fine.
Which is why I need four. Why I need four. Right.
Well, I have every color sports bra that they've ever offered on their website, and I love them for the gym. I always get compliments. So good, so fun. So if you want to support your own health and wellness, take a look at the link in our show notes and support our show. Thank you.
I also have 500 pairs, real quick, of the biker shorts, and Abby ripped me a new one when I called them spandex.
Yeah, Ashley's in her geriatric era. She keeps doing like really old person.
Your mom is more hip than me right now.
My mom speaks more youthful than you. How does it feel?
Totally. But anyway, the link is in our show notes.
Link in the show notes. Go to the link in our show notes. Thank you.
So now we are going to dissect a book that we just read together, but we're also going to talk about something, if you did not read the book, that I think is interesting.
Whatever could it be? I don't know what the topic is.
Well, we were talking about the other day, which is fate versus free will. It pertains 100% to the book.
Which is the questions that the book, you know, poses at the end.
Poses. Fate versus free will. And the choices you make in life.
All over. So
okay, it's
here,
a gift for recording. I'll hold it up for you. Here's the book just for me and you to see.
I wish the audience can see it. It's such a beautiful book. So the book we read is Maybe in Another Life by Taylor Jenkins Reid. And we have some hot takes, but this is, I think, going to be this episode's content. What do we call it? Snack time.
Talk about Jerry. Atric. Snack time is usually at the end of every episode when we talk about all the media we've been consuming, especially books, but also movies and music and podcasts and stuff. But books are the
primary. And really quick, I watched 50 Shades of Grey last night by myself, eating popcorn alone on my couch because I was looking. This is my snack time media I've been consuming because I was looking through HBO Max streaming and I was like, what could I possibly watch? And I had already watched a lot of the things.
That is so not our thing.
I hadn't seen it in years. And I was like,
Seen it start to finish. I've seen probably all of it, but in bits and pieces.
It's really problematic and cringy, and I can't believe we like were obsessed with it at one point in time.
She's like 22.
Yes.
And being abused. Like if that's not beat around the bush, isn't he like forcing her to do that?
It's really weird. And like she's a virgin and she's like inexperienced, and he like takes her under this wing and like really intimidates her and like overwhelms her, and she's like, whoa, like all swept up and all this. It's like not the best, but like they're going off of the book, so I assume the book is like the same kind of power dynamic, I guess.
So you sat there in the
dark. I watched the whole thing, and let me tell you, that's a long movie.
It's graphic, right? Alone in the dark, tossing popcorn kernels in your mouth.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know that I recommend it.
You have a beer can open too. A can, not a bottle.
Yeah, no drinks were consumed, but
it's really funny.
Yeah, and now I feel like I need to finish the trilogy.
I was gonna say you might as well.
The other two are better than the first one. If I'm
later tonight when you get home, yeah.
So, anyways, that was.
Wasn't he also like abused? Was he abused as a kid? Yes. Is that why he is the way he is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. See, we're not talking enough about that.
No, it's really problematic.
Okay, so that's what you can. That was your media.
Yes, but back to the book, back to the important stuff. I just wanted to share that.
So the book is called Maybe in Another Life. It's by Taylor Jenkins Reid. We're not going to give away any spoilers yet.
For those who don't know, Taylor Jenkins Reid is the one who wrote Daisy Jones and the Six. She also wrote The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo and Malibu Rising, if you've heard of any of those books.
And this is her fifth book, and she wrote it right after Evelyn Hugo and One True Loves.
Which is so shocking to me because
it looks tear it apart.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of this book. It's a good book overall. I think it's a nice, easy read. Anyone
the
who's
good,
like
also,
a girly pop reader in your 20s, like you'll like it.
The
you know?
Good is the concept, and I really do like the last two chapters.
But the way that Evelyn Hugo bad. Is so elevated in its yeah. writing, and the way that this is so rudimentary in her writing is so crazy that she wrote this after Evelyn Hugo. But I mean, like, every book has a place, and it's just like a very different kind of book. But basically, it follows the storyline of all of our decisions and like the butterfly effect of life. Like, we make decisions that will affect the course of our lives thereafter. And so at the beginning of the story, it's like a will they, won't they. And in one scenario, she leaves with her high school sweetheart who she reconnects with 10 years later. And in the other scenario, she chooses not to leave the bar with him. And her life goes completely two opposite directions based on that one choice. And it's really interesting the way it like jumps back and forth.
But the bad is that it was so painfully rudimentary, and we could not handle the lead character, how embarrassing she was. I can't stand her.
I don't like when the lead characters – it's really hard to get behind. Quirky.
Like, her defining characteristics were that she wore her hair in a bun and she loved cinnamon rolls, and we had a hair about it nonstop.
She had her hair in a high bun, and her cinnamon rolls was probably like, – if you
did and a little bit that she had a nice rack in the first half. She kept saying that too.
Yeah. If this book was a PDF and you did a control F, cinnamon roll would have popped up 1,002 times. It was too much. It was like the entire thing was just her talking about cinnamon rolls, and we were like, okay, but where's the plot? Like, maybe she had to reach a word count for her editor. Like, I don't know. But yeah, there was a few really cringy moments. But if you can get past those, I think the overall story was good and the concept was good, especially the last few chapters, which I think we should unpack.
100%. So now there will be spoilers if you care to read this, which honestly, 100%, I think that you should read it if based off the last few chapters and the concept. And it's such a quick read. Abby and I do love, and all of our friends, most of them, we do love to read books aloud to each other as if we are everyone's blind except for one person. We like to read books aloud to each other because it's like watching a movie together and getting to experience the emotion.
Totally. And then you can like stop your friends and like discuss what they just
said. Totally. It's such an open discussion. You literally just openly discuss as you go. Mm-hmm. And this time, this was really, really dumb and made me feel so geriatric, but I loved it in equal measure. This time, I'm driving Abby to the airport, and there was literally 30 pages left. So on Sunday morning, she went for a walk on the treadmill this past Sunday, and I had a coffee, and I literally read the book aloud to her on the phone like such a loser. I read the book aloud, but
some
I loved
people
it.
Listen to audiobooks on the treadmill.
No different.
Some
no different.
People call their friend from across the country and have
so
them finish the book for them and read it to them in their voice.
So
some people do that, and those people are us.
Totally. Yeah. And so for the end of the book, let me skim the discussion questions and see if anything comes to mind. So at the end, basically, if you don't care about this, at the end, in both timelines, she ends up so happy. One, she ends up with her high school sweetheart, and the other one, she ends up with another man. And in both, she's thinking to herself, Hannah, the cinnamon roll eater, she's thinking to herself, man, I can't imagine my life turning out any other way than the way it did turn out. Everything is perfect about my life. I'm so in love with my life. Maybe in another mm-hmm. life, I would have ended up with so-and-so, but I didn't, and I'm so happy for it.
Which then goes back to the internalized gratitude of it all, and not just the thankfulness, but her being so grateful for the life that she ended up with, which shows that you can be happy no matter your situation, no matter what happens. It's supposed to happen the way it's meant to be. And also it explored the idea of multiple universes like happening at the same time.
Such a hot button topic.
Which is so to think about.
Okay, do you think that that is true? Do you think, obviously, I know for sure there are 500 different decisions, like, you know, possible storylines down to we hang up right now or we hang up on the phone in like an hour, like the tiniest choices. But do you think that these parallel storylines are actually happening concurrently with what is truly happening?
That's a little too sci-fi for me. It's a little too like extended reality. I think maybe it's a possibility. Like, I don't think it's for sure a no, but that kind of leans like Stranger Things vibes to me, where it's like the upside down and then like the normal universe that we're in. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about,
because obviously there's a million different choice like things that could happen storylines, but are they happening literally simultaneously to this one?
I think that my brain can't handle that if that's happening, but like very possibly it could. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like we kind of just said, this book, just the end particularly, explores fate versus free will. And what I thought was interesting was that in both storylines at the end, there are some things that remain the same. No matter how much we hated it with a burning passion, in both storylines, she loves her cinnamon rolls. And in both storylines, her best friend ends up with the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in both storylines, she ends up having a kid, like, by the end of the jump mm-hmm. ahead. So there Which are some things that are infallible.
Yes,
and don't
some
change.
Things are meant to be, and some things are written in the stars, and they are fate, and they will happen. And then some things are up to us and our free will. And I think back to the spiritual conversation, whether you believe in God or like any kind of higher power, the universe, what have you. I mean, we have free will to make decisions, but I also think that the universe or that higher power opens and closes specific doors in our lives and opportunities to kind of guide us. I think to an extent, certain decisions we have, like what kind of car we're going to drive or whatever, like dumb stuff is all up to us. But then like bigger things, like right now I'm applying for jobs. And if I don't get a certain job, I really have a peace within me to know that like that's just God. Personally, that's what I believe in, is God looking out for me and making sure that like I don't go down that path because it's not for me. And then I don't have to sit around and be all depressed that I didn't get this job that I really wanted. So that's just like a mindset thing. But
and also hot button at this age, that goes for dating too. Like mm-hmm. when things don't work mm-hmm. out with someone,
they're just not meant to be for you. It's not for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And then something that I thought is interesting about the two jump ahead chapters is that in both timelines, she has disappointment in both timelines. She like misses her family. She also feels a lot of love and friendship. And no matter what she does in either timeline, she does experience happiness and joy and also sadness and failure. And so no matter what timeline, you still experience a scope of like human emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like those things are evergreen and universal experiences no matter what.
Yes. Let me see if there's anything captivating about the enhancing your book club at the end. Oh,
Let's
God.
Let's see if they can enhance our book club.
You're going to hate this. Number one, enhance your book club. Hannah has a special love for cinnamon rolls. In honor of her, make or buy some from your favorite bakery for your next book club.
Enough. Enough. Something,
it was almost like we were laughing. What did we say? Like the food fetish things, have people write literature for that?
Yeah,
the way they
like
were describing
were
the cinnamon
certain-
rolls.
There were certain scenes where they were talking about cinnamon rolls and it was like orgasmic the way they were talking about it. And I was like, this is food porn or whatever those people are into. Like, I can't be reading this.
Did you find yourself rooting for one ending versus the other? Did you want her to end up with her high school boyfriend?
Oh, that's a good question. I think at the beginning of the book, I really did. And the hopeless romantic in me like kind of likes the Ethan storyline better with her ex-boyfriend. But I think like all good comes out of both. So I'm like happy for her. But also not just because it's like the hopeless romantic in me, but in the other storyline, she quite literally gets hit by a car and can't walk for like months. Like that sucks. In the other one, she's like healthy and not hit by a car. So like, I don't know.
And one storyline, though, what's so wild is when she literally is like – feels like she's going to die if she doesn't have Ethan, her high school boyfriend. And then the other one ends up dating someone else. And she's like, okay, I'm so happy with so-and-so instead. Mm-hmm. It's wild how different it could be. Have you ever had a person that you feel that you could just tell about, i.e. that you were soulmates and belong together?
God, I wish. Life would be easier if I had that feeling. No, I haven't had that feeling. No one quit asking. No, I'm kidding.
Buzz off.
Everyone's asking, who's your soulmate? Which one? Enough, the paparazzi. Like, enough, you guys. Like, I'll tell
Abby,
you when
Abby,
I know.
Who is it?
Yeah. No, I don't. I have not had that feeling. Like, the old adage, when you know, you know. I think we're all kind of waiting for that to happen. But, like, maybe it doesn't happen that way for you, and that's totally fine. I do have some people in my life that I felt very close.
That you're keeping on the back burner in case you don't find a better soulmate?
No. No, but, like, people I've dated where I'm like, oh, I could see myself with you long term.
Yeah, of course.
But for whatever reason, it doesn't happen.
And what's fascinating is if you had stayed with so-and-so, you would still experience happiness and, like, joy and stuff and also sadness. But when you end up with so-and-so instead, you're going to experience the same exact emotions. It's just with a different person.
Yeah, something that made me feel very grown up was when I realized that my viewpoint on soulmates is that we all have multiple soulmates in our lives.
Totally.
Romantic and non-romantic. Like, I have a lot of friend soulmates, but I also think romantically, I think it's very, very clear to me, at least, that there is not one person for us, and we're not looking for our one soulmate. I think there's tons and tons of people that we meet and date and cross paths with in our lives that we could be extremely compatible with and have an extremely happy life together. And they could be your soulmate in some sense of the word, but like, there's all these options out there. So like, you could be happy with whoever you just decide to make it work with, basically. And there's a lot of great people out there that are going to be really great, happy lives and multiple options and routes to go down. But there's not one person who's like the one. That's just like so much pressure.
Well, that's so limiting. How would that even be possible with so many billions of people in the world? And what happens if they die? Like, that's not.
And also that viewpoint's limiting, because if you're dating someone and things, shit hits the fan, like sometimes you see like the cracks in the matrix or whatever, and you're like, oh, like, I don't know about this. Like, life's just hard. And like, the second a relationship, something gets hard, you can't just be like, oh, you must not be the one because we're having issues. Like, that's not gonna, it's not gonna work with anyone if you think that way.
Yeah. I have one more good question to pose for you. Mark tries to defend his decision to leave Gabby by saying, I didn't mean for it to happen. He's having an affair with someone else, remember? I didn't mean for it to happen. But when you have that kind of connection with someone, nothing can stand in its way. Do you agree with Hannah's belief that your actions and love are not an exception to who you are? They are, in fact, the very definition of who you are.
Oof, that's...
For example, so Mark having this affair and saying, I didn't mean for it to happen, to have this connection, but nothing can stand in my way of being with her. Do you think that is an exception of who he is, or do you think that's the essence of who he is?
I think
it's the essence of who he is.
I think it's the essence. And even though you didn't mean for something to happen, that's not a good excuse. Like, it's still going to hurt people and your actions have consequences. But I do think, I kind of agree with him. Like, if there are like certain things that happen in your life and it's not exactly like the timeline that you think of or the way you think it's going to happen, but you have that gut feeling, like, you have to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he went about it the wrong way, perhaps. For sure, actually. But no, I mean, like, who you choose to love and who you walk through life with is the biggest decision you're ever going to make in your entire life. That's the biggest decision.
Really scary.
It's also exciting.
Yeah. No, it is exciting.
Yeah. On that note, read the book and tell us what you think.
So on that note, go and read the book. Go get the book. I know we tore it apart and we tore apart the characterization, but you know, the hell, there's some good discussion that you can have at the end.
It was still really enjoyable. There was just some cringy enjoyable parts.
Yeah. And like I said, the last tenth of it really made up for the first 9/10 of it. So go get that and enjoy if reading a book isn't a big deal for you. So go ahead and follow us anywhere that you can find your podcast. Subscribe, like I yelled at you at the beginning to do, and leave us a review. And look out for us on TikTok and Instagram, and we will have a guest next week.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a kick-ass weekend.